could hold his body down. See that there ain't no way could hold his body down. We love the gospel of Jesus. There ain't no
tried so hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it. You choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't. To glory.
come a little higher. We gotta come a little higher. All the answers and the solutions are where we are seated in heavenly places. We're seated in heavenly places. Hey.
Shame is a prison as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber and he's come to take my name. Oh, love isn't my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. Let's sing that. Shame is a prison. Come on. It's cruel. Lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Thank you. first problem with you. No, they're not. I've tried like 3 different pairs, huh?
Good morning, everybody. How are you guys this morning? Welcome to Ascend Church. Thank you for being here this morning, and we're going to worship the Lord. So sing along with us.
Darkness run for cover, but the miracles that I just can't get over. My name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power, yes I do. But still the miracle that I just can't get over. Registered in heaven. Yeah, my praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Together, sons and daughters, I fought with blood and washed in water, and sing the graces of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Yes, our God will finish what He started. Here we go, sing. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Yeah. Testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified.
going to try another new song this morning. Did it last week. We got to change guitars here. Let's put your hands together. singing on the front row.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. You're supposed to say it's good to see you too. I just had to get up and say something about this song.
Yeah.
What we're singing about. What this song is about is in the scripture. I just read it the other day. In the Old Testament, a young man died. And they were in a battle and they didn't have time to dig a grave. So they threw him in to the grave where Elisha was buried. Right? Elisha's bones were buried. And the Bible says when they threw the dead man in, he came to life. And he got up out that grave.
Yeah.
And this is what it's saying. When it looks like it's over, when it looks like it's dead, when it looks like there's no way out for you, when it looks like this is the end of the road, what that is saying, I hear the sound, dry bones rattling. God says, live again. God says, roll the stone away. Let me tell you, when God says move, it's got to move. So when you sing and you say, I hear the sound, when we declare, I hear the sound of dry bones rattling, we are saying with expectation, I am expecting God to restore. I'm expecting God to raise me up out of this. I'm expecting God to make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. He's the way maker. He's the miracle worker. He is the promise, the light in the darkness, the promise keeper. He's the one that we're singing to today. I want us to sing it one more time. Just one more time so you know what you're singing about today. You are making a declaration today. It ain't over. It ain't over. God is on my side. And if God is for me, then what can stand against me? It may look impossible, but I serve the God who raises the dead. Since when is impossible ever stopped our God? Come on, give Him praise today. Give Him praise today. Lord, we praise You. We exalt You. You are the Most High. There's nobody like our God. Nobody like You.
This is the sound of
the
dry bones
rattling. This is the sound.
This is the face make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of the dry bones rattling.
Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again.
This is the sound of a dry bone rattling.
This is the sound.
This is the sound, make a dead man walk again.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Put your hands together. Give Him a shout today. This is the sound. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank You that You are the God with whom all things are possible. We thank You, Lord, there's nothing that is too hard for You. It is a simple thing for the Lord. Whatever you are facing today, it may look impossible to you. I want to let you know it's a simple thing for the Lord. It's an easy thing for God. Just get your eyes on Him today. Lord, we thank You for Your presence in this place. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your anointing. I thank You, Lord, that Your anointing removes every burden. Your anointing destroys every yoke. Your anointing brings freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I thank You, Lord, for liberty, for freedom. I thank You for setting people free. I thank You, Lord, today There are people in this place that are struggling with an addiction, with depression. Lord, I thank you today they are set free in the name of Jesus. Today they walk out of here and that desire is gone in the name of Jesus. I thank God for the goodness and the mercy of God. I love this song that we're going to sing now. It's called Goodness of God. It's one of my favorite songs. Every time that I have my prayer time, this is one of those songs I put on. And I worship the Lord and thank Him for His goodness to me. How many of you can say the Lord has been good to you? How many of you have seen God's goodness in your life? You've seen God's mercy in your life? Come on, let's tell Him today. Let's worship Him. Sing with us the goodness of God.
Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice, but you have led me through the fire, and in darkest nights, you are close like no other, and I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend, and I will sing of the goodness God.
Come on and sing it out with me. You guys, come on.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness.
Church.
In all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah. And all my life you have been faithful. Oh,
Hallelujah. Good morning, family. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're glad that you've joined us. We're going to sing one more song of worship, but this is a time in our service where we are going to offer to pray for you. And you know what we've been singing today? We've been singing about the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, and that He is a miracle worker. And that's all you need to know. You know, people have all kinds of reasons why they think God won't help them or won't heal them or any obstacle that they can think of. But let me tell you that God is faithful, that what the Bible says, He doesn't change. What He did then, He will do now. The Bible says that God is love. He is, His goodness follows you. In fact, Jesus said if a father would give a good gift to his child, I don't know a father in this room that would not want the best for their child. And that is, Jesus said, let me tell you, that is how God feels about you. And so right now our prayer team are going to come and line up here, and they are available to pray with you no matter what you're facing. Let me tell you that one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. We'll join our faith with you no matter whether it's mental or physical or family, relationships, job, whatever it is. In fact, Sammy Jo is in children's church teaching this morning, but she came forward a couple of weeks ago and she asked us to pray. She just graduated and qualified as a nurse, and she was looking for an opening. And because of all these, you know, everything that's been going on, there hasn't been all that much hiring at some places, but her mom just told her, Carolyn Leo just told us, that she got an excellent position at Palm Beach Medical, right? So that's an answer to prayer. God hears and answers prayer. So we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for those that are watching online. I just set my faith with you right now. Wherever you are, I just speak to pain. I command it to go from your body. I command sickness to come off of you in the name of Jesus. By His stripes, you were healed. We take authority over every attack of the enemy on your finances, on your family, on your marriage, on your children. In Jesus' name, we just release the anointing of God to go right through into your home, into your body, setting you free. That depression just lifts off of you in the name of Jesus. We agree. Amen. So as we sing this final worship song, it's worship God. If you're not coming forward for prayer, just set your heart. I used the scripture last week, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That looks like we take the first step. You want to be close to the Lord. You want to feel God's presence. Draw near to Him. And the one way we do that is by worshiping Him. Amen. Thank you.
You are here.
Oh,
sorry.
That's okay, it's Leslie. Okay. That's okay. I want you to come forward today if you need prayer. Like my wife said, let me tell you, the Lord wants to heal you today of anything, any physical illness you have. Our God is a healer. And the healing power of Jesus is here in this room today. You can walk out of here healed today. Just take that step forward. Say, I want prayer today. If you are struggling with some kind of an addiction, the Lord spoke to me this morning, and I want to pray particularly for you because God's going to set you free today. Now, you don't have to be shy because nobody knows why you're coming forward. You might be coming forward to pray for your Aunt Susie. Nobody knows. You just come on forward, and we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. I want to thank everybody who came before service today. We have prayer before service from 9:15 to 9:45. We had our best attendance today. That room's filling up. It was wonderful to see people up there praying. Because let me tell you, I don't know if you know this. I told this to the people in prayer. You know when you see the Twin Towers and they have those beams of light that kind of shoot up in the sky? Where the Twin Towers used to be. Have you seen that picture with the two beams of light going up to the sky? Let me tell you, when we pray, if you were God, you would see beams of light coming up from the earth. Every prayer of every Christian comes up like a beam of light in the sky. All over the earth are these beams of light. As the people of God pray, things happen, family. I want to thank you for coming to pray this morning. It's making a difference in our services. It's making a difference. Let me tell you, prayer is what changes things. prayer. We got to be praying for our country, praying for our family. So if you need prayer today, this is the time. Come right now, whatever it is you need, God is going to set you free. He is the way maker. We're going to sing that song. He's the way maker. He is the miracle worker. He is the light in the darkness. He's the promise keeper. Let me tell you right now, He's for you. He's not against you. The Lord loves you. The Bible says, if God is for me, then what and who can stand against me? God is for you today. Come on, lift your voice. Sing with us today. Leslie, He is the way maker today. Amen. Do you believe that today? Yes, He's the way maker. I worship You.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship You. I worship You. You are here, working in this place. I worship You. I worship You. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship You. I worship You. You are here, working in this place. I worship You. I worship You.
Sing it, guys.
You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who You are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Touching every heart, I worship You. I worship You. You are here, healing every heart. I worship You. I worship You. You are here, touching every heart. I worship You. I worship You. You are here, healing every heart. I worship You. I worship You. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who You are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who You are. That is who You are. That is who You are. That is You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, You're working. Even when I don't feel it, You're working. You never stop.
You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Sing it, guys. Now I don't feel it. You working. Even when I don't see it. You working. You never stop. You never stop working.
That's who you are.
That is who you are.
Amen.
I love when we sing about God's nature and His character, because let me tell you, nothing will raise your faith like thinking about who God is and what He's done. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Why don't you just take a moment and greet somebody, tell them how good they look today. God. Well, welcome to church. Welcome to those that are watching online from home. We're so glad you've joined us. We have people that watch from not just our members that watch from home, but we have people that watch from all over. And so welcome to the service. Just make yourself comfortable. Consider yourself in church. It's easier to do when you're here, but if with an effort, you can do it from home as well. And you know, I heard somebody say this, time is not what makes you grow in the things of God. So you can be a Christian for 30 years, right? What makes you grow into a mature, strong Christian is truth, right? The Word of God. So I'm so excited to sit under the Word this morning, and every time we hear the Word of God, it brings faith to us. It removes doubt, removes fear. We might come in here with anxiety. Then you hear the Word of God and it just gives you peace. Amen. So I pray that for you today. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. Well, most Sundays we have visitors, and just want to make sure we welcome you. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand where you are? Is anyone here for the first time today? I don't see any hands. But that's great. Bring somebody with you next week. That's a good idea, right? And I want to just remind you of our four purposes of our church. Firstly, we call it Ascend Church because it's all about elevating your life. Want to elevate your life, elevate your thinking, elevate your earning capacity and your ability to love and have good, healthy relationships. Amen. But we want you to know God. You say, I do know God. No, we can get to know Him more and more as we go along, right? Second of all, we want you to find freedom in every area of your life, like Pastor Steve was praying. We come in, we get saved, our spirit man gets saved. There's a lot of things sometimes. We've got some baggage that comes along with us, and we want to get freedom in every area of our life. Thirdly, to discover your purpose. Bible says that God's placed us in his kingdom, and each one of us supplies. Each one of us is a joint that works together, right, for the body of Christ. And lastly, for you to make a difference with your life. We want to do that together. Amen. So we're so glad. I'm looking forward to the word. It's a lot easier to come up here when I'm not preaching. Easier week, right?
Yes. All right. That's my cue, is it? All right. Good morning, everybody. Praise God. We want to welcome everyone who's watching us online from all around the world. I want to encourage you, please, to, if you're watching this on Facebook, put a comment. Let us know where you're watching from. Even better than that, share this live stream on your Facebook so that your friends can watch this. That's one way that you can share the gospel and reach other people. There's four different ways of watching our service online. First of all is by watching on our website, ascendchurch.us. Have you looked at the website yet? If you haven't looked at our website, please check it out, ascendchurch.us. Or you can watch on our mobile app. Now, if you watch the service online on our website or our mobile app, you have the option of having a Spanish translation audio. So you can we have someone translating my sermon into Spanish, so you can do that. Then also you can watch us on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, Ascend Church Jupiter. And the last way is Facebook. There's four different ways. So thank you for watching us today. God bless you today. I pray this is going to be a blessing. Are you ready for God's word today? Because I am ready. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your spirit. I pray that you touch every life, every person here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. And Lord, I just acknowledge that I'm trusting, I'm depending on you today. I don't want to just speak with mere words of human wisdom, and I don't want to just speak eloquently, but Lord, I want you to manifest your mighty power. I want you to confirm your word with signs following. I want you to touch, Lord, touch lives and touch people today. Let people be set free today from the past. Let people be filled with peace. Let people be healed. Let people be delivered, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I give you all the praise, the glory, the honor for everything said and done in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen with that. Well, listen, this morning I want to speak to you about get over it. Get over it. This is one of the most important things I think that I've learned in my 40 years of following Jesus, is the importance of getting over things. There's too many people that go through life holding on to things from the past. And let me tell you right now, you hold on to things from the past and it'll hinder what God wants to do in the here and now and in the future. There's too many people that are going around thinking that somebody owes them something. Maybe they didn't have a perfect childhood and now they're offended at their parents. Or maybe they got laid off after years at a company and now they're offended at a boss, or maybe they came down with an illness and life threw them a curve, or went through a divorce, or didn't get that promotion, and now they're offended at God. They've got a chip on their shoulder. They've got bitterness on the inside of them, and they think, well, Pastor Steve, you know, if God is so good, then how come this happened to me? Well, listen, God never promised that life would be fair. But he did promise that if you would stay in faith, that he would take what is meant for your harm and he would turn it around and use it to your good, to your advantage. He did promise. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have already overcome the world. Let me tell you, nothing that has happened to you is a surprise to God. The people that raised you, maybe they didn't give you everything you needed. Maybe it wasn't fair, but that did not catch God off of guard. Let me tell you, we can't use that as an excuse to be bitter, thinking, well, you know, I got cheated. If you'll get over it, God will still get you to where you're supposed to be. That person that did you wrong in a relationship, the betrayal, the divorce, it may have been painful, and it wasn't right, it wasn't what God wanted, but if you'll get over it and quit reliving all the hurt and the pain and start moving forward, then you'll come into the new beginning that God has in store for you. Our God is a God of new beginnings. His mercies are new every morning. And the term, get over it, I went and looked it up. What does that mean? And it says to get over it means to forget the past and to move on. To stop being concerned with something in the past that cannot be changed. To forget your loss, disappointment, failure. To get over it means to forget the things that are in the past and to move forward into the destiny God has for you. Now, in Psalm 45, in verse 10, the Bible says, forget about your past. Put behind you every attachment to the familiar, even those who were once close to you. The Apostle Paul, he wrote this to the church in Philippi. In Philippians 3, verse 13, he said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't arrived yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. The Living Bible says it like this. I'm still not all I should be. How many of you can say, I'm still not all I should be? Anyone here arrived yet? I'd love to meet you. Any perfect people arrived yet? Any perfect people? No, Paul said, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not all I should be. But I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to hear what the Apostle Paul, who God used to write more than half of the New Testament, I want to hear the one thing that he focuses on. Don't you? I'd like to know what this man says. This is the one thing I bring all my energies on. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Paul said, all my energies, I focus on this more than anything. Forgetting the past and looking forward. The Passion Bible says it like this. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I want to encourage you to forget the past and to rather fasten your heart to look forward to the things God has in your future. My message is very simple today, and I say it respectfully. Whatever wrong was done to you, whatever's causing you to feel sour, whatever seems unfair, get over it. Well, Pastor Steve, all my friends are married. I'm still single. Get over it. Don't let bitterness take root in your heart because that'll keep the right person from showing up. Well, I wish I was a different nationality. I wish I came from a different family. I wish I had a different Listen, get over it. God knows what he's doing. God was not having a bad day when he created you. You are not at a disadvantage. The Bible says you've been fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, it seems like my friend's got more going for them. You know, he's more talented. She's more beautiful. I feel like I got shortchanged in life. No, get over it. You have exactly what you need to fulfill the destiny that God laid out for your life. Well, Pastor Steve, they did me wrong. They left me out. Get over it. God will make it up to you. Get over it. God will fight your battles. Like Joyce Meyer. Anyone heard of Joyce Meyer? Joyce Meyer says this. She says, you can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you can't be both. You can't be powerful and pitiful at the same time. Instead of sitting around thinking about all the reasons that you can feel sorry for yourself, all the bad breaks and all the disadvantages, you've got to take the hand that you've been dealt and make the most of it. You've got to realize that nothing you've been through has to keep you from becoming all that God has created you to be. There's nobody and nothing that can stop your destiny but you. Sometimes we think, well, Pastor Steve, if I had their life, have you ever thought like that? Oh, if I just had their life, man, oh, man, oh, man. If I had his talent, if I was born into that family, oh, then I could really do something great. Listen, don't ever compare yourself to anybody else. You know why? You're not running their race. God has set a race for you. And the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10, in verse 12, it says, we won't dare compare ourselves with those who think so much of themselves, but they are foolish to compare themselves with themselves. The Bible says it's foolish to compare yourself with anybody else. Why? Because God made you to be you. Amen. Now, you can be inspired by other people. You can learn from other people. But you don't try and be somebody else. It's foolish to compare yourself to anybody else. It may seem like they have more advantages, that they've got more going for them. But God has given you the grace that you need to fulfill your destiny. You're not anointed to be them. You're anointed to be you. There's nobody. You're the best you in the whole world. There's nobody like you. You're anointed to be you. You've got to shake off any self-pity, any bitterness. Our attitude should be, listen, nobody owes me anything. I'm not at a disadvantage. I didn't get shortchanged. I didn't get left out, passed over, or cheated. I'm not a victim. I am a victor. I am equipped. I am empowered. I'm anointed. All the forces of darkness can't keep me from the destiny God has destined for my life. That's the attitude you got to have of a victor. Let me tell you, your time is too valuable and your assignment is too important to go through life thinking about what you didn't get and who hurt you and how it didn't work out. That's a trick of the enemy to get you distracted, to waste valuable energy on things that really don't matter in the big picture. The enemy would love to keep you discouraged in self-pity, blaming other people, blaming yourself, even blaming God. I'm asking you today to get over anything that's holding you back, whether it's a bad attitude, whether it's an offense, what somebody did to you, a mistake that you made in your own life. You know, the scripture says in Isaiah 65 in verse 16, the failures of the past will be forgotten. They will be hidden from my eyes. I love that. God says, I forget the failures of your past. Isaiah 43 verse 18 says, stop dwelling on the past. Don't even remember these former things. It says, I'm doing something brand new. Say, God's doing something brand new in my life. I'm doing something brand new. I'm doing something brand new. Something unheard of. Even now, it sprouts, it grows, it matures. Don't you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness. I will open up flowing streams in the desert. Instead, you've burdened me with your many sins and wearied me with your evil deeds. And yes, I am the one and only. He is the one and only who completely erases your sins, never to be seen again. I will not remember them again. Freely I do this because of who I am. God says, I don't remember the past. I don't remember those mistakes. I don't remember those failures. I erase them. I delete them. The New Living Bible says it like this. I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake, and I will never think of them again. Now, let me tell you, if God doesn't remember your sins, say, God doesn't remember my sins. If you asked him to forgive you, he doesn't remember it. So then why should you remember it? One time I was talking about some mistakes that I'd made in my past. And the Lord spoke to me down here in my heart. And he said, Steve, why are you still talking about what I have already forgotten? Why are you talking about what I've forgotten? 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we freely admit our sins, when his light uncovers them, he will be faithful to forgive us sometimes, most times. What does it say? Every time. He will be faithful to forgive us every time. God is just to forgive us our sins because of Christ, and he will continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you confess your sins to God, when you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, that I did that, that I lied, that I've lost my temper, that I, whatever it is. I'm sorry, Lord. The Bible says he's faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you and to forget about it. Now, I'm asking you, do the same as God. God wants to spare you from the harm of your past. I was reading this scripture, Psalm 139, verse 5. It says, you've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. How good is our God? He goes before us to prepare the way, and then he goes behind us to protect us from the stupid things we did in our past. Is that what it says? Listen, don't be pitiful when you can be powerful. The creator of the universe has breathed his life in you, and every day of your life has already been written in God's book. God has a plan and a destiny for your life. The scripture says in Psalm 139, verse 16, I read the first part in verse 5, how God goes before you and prepares the way, and God comes behind you and protects you from the pain of your past. Verse 16 says, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And let me tell you the good news. Your book ends in victory. Let me tell you good news today. Wherever you are in your book of life, your book ends in victory. God has a victorious ending for you. How do I know that? Psalm 37, verse 37. The godly ones will have a peaceful, prosperous future with a happy ending. My life ends good. Let me tell you right now, no matter where I am right now, God says you're going to have a great future and you have a great ending. And we all go through tough times, but we're not supposed to stay there. We're supposed to keep turning the page. Amen. And if you'll turn the page, you'll come into another victory. God knew there would be unfair situations. That's why God has already arranged a comeback for every setback, a vindication for every wrong, a new beginning for every disappointment. Amen. Amen. Don't let one bad break or a divorce or a rough childhood cause you to get soured on life. If you didn't get that promotion, get over it. Because let me tell you, God's got something better in store for you. The Bible says in Psalm 75, promotion and power come from nowhere on earth, but only from God. He promotes one and deposes another. So don't worry about it. God's the one who brings promotion. If those friends don't accept you, they leave you out, they won't give you their approval, get over it. You don't need their approval. You already got God's approval. Don't try playing up to them, try to win them over. You've got God Almighty's approval, and that's all that matters. Jesus said in John 5:41, Jesus said, your approval or your disapproval means nothing to me. For I, as I know so well, you don't have the love of God within you. Jesus said, your approval or disapproval doesn't mean anything to me. Galatians 1 verse 10, Paul said, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people. Paul said, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but I'm trying to win the approval of God. Because if pleasing people were my goal, I wouldn't be Christ's servant. Let me tell you right now, if pleasing people is your number one goal, you're going to have a hard time as a Christian. Because not everybody's going to be pleased with you that you're a believer. Just the fact that you believe in Jesus, there's like 50% of America don't like you. Because you believe in Jesus. But you see, your approval is not what's important. You know what's important to me? God's approval. That's what counts to me. Some people will never approve you. Some people will never forgive you. There's some people who will never forgive you. No matter how hard you try. But God's approval is all that matters. Maybe your business didn't make it. Maybe you had a setback in your business and now you think, what did I do wrong? I blew it. This is the end. No, get over it. Don't condemn yourself. You are not a failure. You took a step of faith and a door closed. And all that means is you're one step closer to the next open door. When you get knocked down, don't stay down. Get back up again. Proverbs 24:16 says, though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. Even righteous people fall seven times, but they get up again. The Passion Bible says, for the lovers of God may suffer adversity, and they may stumble seven times, but they will continue to rise over and over again. But the unrighteous are brought down by just one calamity, and they'll never rise again. God says a righteous person may fall down 7 times, but he'll keep on getting back up. Why? Because the Lord's there to lift you up. Nothing good is going to happen as long as you're down on yourself, down on life, focused on your mistakes, focused on your disadvantages, focused on your failures. That'll keep you from the amazing future that God has in store for you. Maybe you're dealing with a sickness, and our hearts go out to you, and we're standing in faith with you. But don't dare sit around nursing your wounds, thinking, poor old me, I guess my life is over. I got this disadvantage. No, that's the time to dig your heels in. Fight the good fight of faith. God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. When the going gets tough, then that's when the tough got to get going. Fight the fight of faith. Get over that disappointment. Get over the self-pity. Get over the doubt. You have been armed with strength for this battle. The Lord is with you. There's more with you than that are against you. No weapon formed against you, the Bible says, can ever prosper. Nothing can snatch you out of God's hand. The enemy doesn't have the final say. God has the final say. And you know what God says? God says in Psalm 91, verse 16, with long life I will satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. God says in Exodus 23, 26, I will fulfill the number of your days. God says in Psalm 118, verse 17, I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. God will fulfill my days. I will live and tell what great things the Lord has done in my life. You just keep on turning that page. Amen. You keep on praying. You keep on believing. You keep on being your best. You keep on being good to other people. And you're going to come into another chapter, a chapter of victory in your life, the new thing that the Lord wants to do. Amen. I think about Job in the Bible. Job had a lot to get over. I mean, Job lost his health, lost his family, lost his business. I mean, if anybody had a right to have a chip on their shoulder and be angry and bitter, it must have been Job. He was a good man. The Bible says Job was an upright man. He was blameless and he loved God. He was being his best, yet his whole life was turned upside down. The storms of life come to all of us. The scripture says the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 24, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on that house, it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And it says the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now notice that the wind, the storm, came to both houses. The man who built his house on the word, built his house on the rock, hearing God's word, he did what it said. The storm came to him. The other man heard God's word. He didn't do what it said. That's like building your life on the sand. The storm came to them both. I'd love to tell you that if you love God and if you have faith, you're never going to have any challenges. You're never going to have any difficulties. That is not reality. But I can tell you that when the storms of life come, if you've got your house built on the rock, if you are doing what God says in his word, if you've got this unshakable confidence in God, if you know the Lord is your shepherd and you shall not want, the storms of life may come, but you will not be defeated. You may go through the fire and the flood and the famine, but you will, let me tell you, if you will hear and do God's word, you'll come out of that storm still standing. I'm still standing. That's what Psalm 66 verse 12 tells us. It says in Psalm 66, 12, we've passed through the fire. We've passed through the flood. Yet in the end, you always bring us out better than we were before, saturated with your goodness. I may go through the fire, I may go through the flood, but God always brings me out better than ever before. Amen. Say that. Say, I may go through the fire, I may go through the flood, but God always brings me out better than before. Saturated with his goodness. The Living Bible says, but in the end, we went through the fire, we went through the flood, but in the end, you brought us into wealth and great abundance. Don't be discouraged by the storm. Don't fall into self-pity. Oh, Pastor Steve, I don't know. What did I do wrong? Why is this happening? I don't understand. Why me? Oh, me. Poor old me. No, you may not have done anything wrong. It may be because you're doing something right. You're taking new ground for the kingdom. You're setting a new standard for your family. The enemy's not going to just roll out the red carpet and let you fulfill your destiny without any opposition. But you got to know that the forces that are for you are much greater than the forces that are against you. Job could have given up on life. He could have blamed God. He could have thought, oh, just my luck. I tell you what, I do my best. I live right. Look what happens to me. No, in the middle of the difficulty, when he could have been bitter and he could have been sour, he looked up to the heavens. And Job said this in Job 13, verse 15. He said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Now, you could understand Job didn't have a Bible like you have. Job wasn't able to go to a sin church on Sunday and get taught the Word of God. He didn't have a Bible. He's figuring this out himself. But he said, no matter what happens, I'm going to still trust you. He was saying, no matter what comes my way, I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to be offended. It may not be fair, but I know a secret. Hallelujah. My God is on the throne. I may not like it, but I'm going to get over it, and I'm going to keep on moving forward in my life. 9 months later, Job came out of that with twice what he had before. Job 42 verse 10 says, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Let me tell you, when you get over it, you position yourself for double. When you forgive, even though they did you wrong, get ready for double. When you have a good attitude, even though life has thrown you a curve, get ready for double. When you go each day being your best, even though it seems like you're having a disadvantage, thoughts telling you, you're not as talented as she is. Look at him. He comes from an influential family. You got cheated. Look at her. She's so beautiful. You're so average. Let me tell you, you got to don't believe those lies. Instead of getting depressed, shake it off. No, you've been made in the image of Almighty God. You don't let those thoughts defeat you. You don't let circumstances or what people say pull you down. No, no matter what comes your way, you get over it and you keep on moving forward. And when you do that, you better get ready, because God says to you what he said to Job, double's coming your way. Double the joy, double the peace, double the favor. Is there something you need to get over in your life today and move forward to what God has for you? Maybe a friend betrayed you. Get over it. A business deal didn't work out. Get over it. A childhood wasn't that great. Get over it. A failure that you had in your past. Get over it. Because unless you get over it, it'll keep you from the fullness that God has in store. You see, the key to the double is not getting bitter. Not going around with a chip on your shoulder. Not going around thinking that somebody owes you. It's easy to make excuses to live a sour life. Have you noticed in these days especially how people blame the past, or they blame how they were raised? Oh, my father didn't give me what he should have. My mother didn't give me what she should have. My father wasn't around when I was growing up. That's why I'm bitter. That's why I can't get along with people now. That's why I can't be successful. No, listen, what your mother or your father didn't give you is not a surprise to God. We cannot use that as an excuse to be sour, to be negative, and go through life feeling like we've been shortchanged. I say this with respect. Get over it. Start moving forward. This is a new day. God knew who your parents would be. He knew what kind of environment you'd be raised in. I'm not making light of that because, you know, some people come through very unfair childhoods and they didn't get the love and they didn't get the approval and they didn't get the support that they should have when they were growing up. But I don't believe in giving anybody the right to feel sorry for themselves, because as long as you think you got shortchanged and life is not fair, well, I've got the sickness. Well, I'm not that talented. Listen, that'll keep you from the amazing future God has in store. It may not have been fair, but if you'll have the right attitude, instead of being a setback, it'll be a setup for God to do something great in your life. Do you know that God can use the pain of your past to promote you in your future? There's some people, they're 50 years old. They're still talking about what mama didn't give them. Have you ever thought about maybe mama didn't have it to give? Maybe your father did the best that he could with what he had. Sometimes we rely too much on people when we should be relying on God. The Bible says in Psalm 27, verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Mom or dad may not have given you what you needed, but if you look to God and rely on Him, He'll make up for everything that you didn't get. Psalm 33, verse 18 says, the Lord watches over those who fear Him, those who rely on His unfailing love. God watches over them. He rescues them from death, and He keeps them alive in times of famine. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. See, we've got to rely on God, not on people. If you want someone to give you 100%, don't look around, look up. God is the only one who can give you everything you need. And with some people, it's not that they don't want to give it to you, but they were never taught how to show love. They were never taught how to express approval. They never saw that modeled when they were growing up. Now they're passing on what they've learned, what they've seen. If you only look to people, you'll be disappointed, because people will let you down. Let me just break it to you right now. People will let you down. Don't put your faith in me. Put your faith in God. If you're not careful, you'll get bitter, you'll get resentful toward them, and you'll begin to think, well, you owe me. Why won't you give it to me? What's wrong with you? No, maybe God is trying to teach you to not rely on people, but to rely on Him. That's what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8. He says, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble that we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we'd never live through it. It says, in fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves, and we learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. You see, you got to learn to rely only on God. And it says, and He did rescue us from mortal danger, and He will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in Him, and He will continue to rescue us. The NIV Bible, New International Version, says this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He said this happened so that we could learn to rely on God. The Message Bible says, we don't want you in the dark, friends, about how hard it was when all this came down on us in Asia province. It was so bad, we didn't think we were going to make it. It says, we felt like we'd been sent to death row. That was all over for us. As it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened, because instead of trusting our own strength or wits to get us out of it, we were forced to trust God totally. Not a bad idea, since He's the God who raises the dead. And He did it. He rescued us from certain doom, and He'll do it again, rescuing us as many times as we need rescuing. God will rescue me as many times as I need rescuing. See, you got to rely to God, on God, and look to God and not people. You got to let people off the hook. Quit trying to make someone try and be everything to you, because nobody has 100%. No person can meet all your needs. No matter how good, no matter how loving, no matter how kind they are, at some point, they're going to fall short. You got to look up to your Heavenly Father and say, God, I know that You will give me everything I need. I trust, I depend only on You. You see, when you open the door to self-pity and blame, and all kinds of negative thoughts will flood your mind, the enemy will tell you, you're right, you were cheated. You should have a chip on your shoulder. You need to go straighten them out. It's easy to remember what we didn't get and the mistakes that our parents made and how they should have done better and why did they say that about me? But most of the time, if you put yourself in their shoes, you'll find they did the best they could with what they had and with what they knew. Why don't you let people off the hook? Quit expecting people to be perfect. Look to God to give you what people cannot give you. Because if you don't and you go through life thinking someone owes you something and you've got this chip on your shoulder, it's going to cause you to get bitter. And when you're bitter, it poisons every area of your life. The scripture says in Hebrews 12 verse 15, watch over each other. Tell your neighbor, I'm watching over you. Because it says watch over each other. To make sure. Watch over each other to make sure no one misses the revelation of God's grace, and make sure that no one lives with a root of bitterness sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of many. Let me tell you, bitterness is a poison. I'll say it again. Bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment is a poison. The scripture says in Ephesians 4 verse 31, get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. How do you get rid of bitterness? Forgiving. How do you get rid of bitterness? You forgive. You forgive, bitterness gone. But when you can't forgive, unforgiveness becomes bitterness. If you don't let go of the past and forgive people, it'll cause a root of bitterness in you, which will only cause you trouble. A bitter root will always produce bitter fruit. Bitter people don't have good relationships. They're too negative. When we're bitter, it affects our attitude. We see everything through this critical lens. Nothing is ever good enough. When people sit in a church and they become bitter, all of a sudden, they start noticing everything that's wrong and nothing that's right. Bitter people can smile on the outside and say, how you doing? Good to see you. But on the inside, they're thinking, I don't like you. What are you doing here? Why'd you show up here? Bitterness taints everything about them. It follows you everywhere you go. It's like this grandfather that I heard about. He took a nap one afternoon in the family room, and his grandkids decided they're going to play a trick on him. They got some real strong, stinky cheese. Cheese, real bad smelling cheese. And while he was sleeping, they rubbed some of that cheese on his mustache. A couple of minutes later, his nose started twitching. He woke up, he thought, boy, it stinks in here. He went out the family room, went to the kitchen. It still stinks. He went outside to get some fresh air. He said, man, the whole world stinks. If the whole world stinks for you, may I suggest you look on the inside? Maybe there's some adjustments you need to make, because bitterness will follow you everywhere that you go. When we hold on to things that we should be letting go of, when we don't forgive, when we remember the worst, it's not harming the other person, it's poisoning our own life. God is saying to you today, get over it. I love what Nelson Mandela said. You know Nelson Mandela? He was the president of South Africa. He spent 27 years in prison in his struggle against apartheid. Now, I grew up in apartheid. I was born in Detroit, Michigan. We moved to South Africa when I was 8 in 1972. And that was apartheid was alive and well. Nelson Mandela was in prison for 27 years. He was released in 1990. And he became president of South Africa in 1994. And he was president for 5 years. But this is what I love. President Nelson Mandela made this statement. He said, as I walked out of the door toward my freedom, I knew if I did not leave all the anger and all the hatred and all the bitterness behind me, I'd still be in that prison. That's awesome. Let me tell you, life is flying by. You don't have time to waste one more minute being negative, being offended, being bitter, holding on to the past. So they did you wrong. Get over it. God will make it up to you. So you had a bad break, a disadvantage. Get over it. God is still on the throne. Have you ever heard of a man named Nick Volchik? Nick Volchik, he has appeared on many different shows, the different television shows, and He was born with no arms and no legs. He could be sitting around saying, God, it's not fair. I've got no reason to live. I've got no future in front of me. But he has taken the hand that he was dealt, and he is making the most of it. Today, Nick is a minister. He goes all over the world, challenging people not to let any disadvantage hold them back. Isn't that amazing? Are you making an excuse for some reason you can't be happy or some reason you can't succeed? Steve, they hurt me too badly. That's why I just can't forgive. You're not forgiving for their sake. You're forgiving so you can be free. You're forgiving so you can walk in freedom. You can let go of the past. Well, Steve, I've had some rough times. I've had some bad breaks in my business. Get over it. Because let me tell you, like we sang, you wouldn't be alive if God didn't have another victory in front of you. Nothing in life that has happened to you, it has happened for you. I say nothing in life has happened to you, it's happened for you. Every disappointment, every wrong, every closed door has helped make you who you are today. And you're not defined by the past, but you are prepared by the past. You may have encountered some great obstacles, is because God has a great future in front of you. I heard about a young man, it was his dream to play professional baseball. And all through high school, he was the best player in the league. One day, he had a farming accident and he lost all of his forefinger and most of his middle finger. And it was the hand that he threw the baseball with. And it looked like his career in baseball was over, but he didn't sit around in self-pity. He learned how to throw the ball with two fingers. And if you know anything about baseball, those are the fingers that you usually use to throw the ball. And he always played third base. But one day during practice, the coach was standing behind him, and he noticed that when he threw to first base, the ball had all kinds of movement on it. And the coach thought, how could a batter possibly hit that ball? And so he moved him from third base to the pitcher's mound. That man's name was Mordecai Brown. He was known as Three Fingers Mordecai. He went on to become one of the greatest pitchers in professional baseball. He did not let that handicap, look, three-fingered Brown. He didn't let it hold him back. He turned his handicap into an advantage by learning how to grip the ball in a way that resulted in this exceptional curve ball. Let me tell you, if you'll get over what you think is a disadvantage, God will take what looks like a liability and turn it into an asset for you. It may not be something physical, but maybe, but the way that you were raised or mistake you made or what somebody did to you. We think if only I hadn't had that accident, then I could fulfill my dreams. If only I hadn't been through that divorce, or if only I hadn't been laid off. Listen, you got to get rid of the if only thoughts, because if only can keep you from your destiny. Nick could be saying, if only I had arms and legs, then I could do something great. Mordecai Brown could be saying, if only I had all my fingers, then I could play baseball. Nelson Mandela, if only this. Zacchaeus could have said, if only I was taller. David could have said, if only Goliath wasn't so big. Gideon could have said, if only I came from a better family. Moses could have said, if only my mother hadn't abandoned me. Joseph could have said, if only my brothers hadn't sold me into slavery. But Joseph got over it. He didn't get bitter. He got over it. And years later, when Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before Joseph, what did he say in Genesis 50? He said, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people. You meant evil toward me, but God meant it for good. The New Living Bible says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. And the contemporary English version says, you tried to harm me, but God made it turn out for the best. The Good News translation says, you plotted evil against me, but God turned it into good. God turned evil into good. God can take what was meant for your harm and turn it to your good. He can make all things work together for your good. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, in verse 28, he said, we know. Say, I know. Say, I know. What do you know? I know God causes everything to work together for my good. Say, I know God causes everything to work together for my good. Of those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose for them. The Passion Bible says, we're convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. The Message Bible says that's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Say, I know every detail of my life, God's working it together for my good. See, what has happened to you, it may look like a disadvantage in your eyes, but it's not a disadvantage in God's eyes. It's not going to keep you from your destiny. It's going to thrust you into your destiny. I'm asking you today to do your part. Get over anything that's holding you back. Get over what they said about you. They don't determine your destiny. God does. Get over what didn't work out. Get over the mistake that you made. Get over that disappointment from the past. It may have been a setback, but it's not a surprise to God. He's already arranged a comeback. Our attitude should be, nobody owes me anything. I'm not going to go through life with a chip on my shoulder. I'm letting go of what didn't work out. I'm letting go of the past. I'm forgiving the people who did me wrong. I'm pulling up the root of bitterness. I'm moving forward into the amazing things God has in my future. Amen. And I'll close with some things from my friend, Mike Francine. Some statements he sent me. Mike's written how 33 books, Mike? 29 books. 29 books. And some things Mike says. Here we go. Holding on to your history is done at the expense of your destiny. Just because you had some bad chapters in life, it doesn't mean your story doesn't end well. If you run after your destiny, you're sure to escape your history. Your current situation is not your final destination. Yesterday is a closed door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been and let your heart dream again. Past mistakes do not define you. They do not dictate your future. God never consults your past to determine your future. If you knew my past, you may not want to sit next to me. But if you knew my future, you'd never leave my side. Forget about yesterday. Forget about yesterday. It's already forgotten about you. Don't sweat tomorrow. You haven't even met her yet. Embrace the possibilities of today. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. Divorce is not deceased. Broke is but a momentary season. Sickness is a lie that cannot stand. If you're not dead, God's not done. Your destiny is never tied to the person who left. People may write you off, but you're not required to read what they have penned. Faith says, I can live out of my imagination instead of out of my memory. I'm living out of my imagination. Let me tell you, if you will learn this principle, get over it. I believe, I declare in the name of Jesus, no disappointment, no bad break, no injustice, no past mistake is going to keep you from your destiny. In the name of Jesus, I declare God's going to take what was meant for your harm and he's going to turn it and use it to your advantage. In Jesus' name, like Job, you're not going to just come out. You're going to come out better. You're going to come out stronger. You're going to come out increased with twice the joy, with twice the peace, with twice the victory. In the name of Jesus, do you receive it today? Do you receive this today? Come on, give God thanks and praise if you receive this today. Tell your neighbor, get over it. Come on, tell your neighbor, get over it. Whatever it is, get over it. Let it go today. Get over it. Tell your neighbor, we're moving forward. Say, I'm moving forward in Jesus' name. Bow your heads for a moment. Would you do that? Would you bow your head for a moment? I want to pray for you. Thank you, Job. Thank you. What am I talking about? Kelly, where you at, my brother? Bow your head for a moment. All righty. While heads are bowed, while eyes are closed, I want to pray right now, as we do every service, I want to pray for any person, every person here today. If you are not sure where you stand with God today, If you are not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord. In fact, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? You know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church today. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God today. What I am asking you is if you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that heaven is where you would spend all of eternity? Because let me tell you the good news is you can know that for sure. You can walk out of here today and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God today. You can walk out of here knowing for sure when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. You can know that. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But if you say, Pastor Steve, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that all is right, all is well between me and God today. If that's you, I'm going to ask you quickly just to lift your hand up. Just raise your hand up. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. I'm looking for hands right now. Just lift it up high. Thank you. God bless you. If you're watching us online, just lift your hand up wherever you may be. Maybe I can't see you, but God can. Just lift it up. Say, yeah, I want to be sure. I want you to say this prayer with me. The scripture says in Romans 10, in verse number 9, the Bible tells us, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become a child of God. That's how you know that heaven is where you're going to spend eternity, is if you will believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And if you will confess that he is Lord of your life, the Bible says you will be saved. So say this prayer with me. If you're watching this online or everyone here in this building, please say this out together. Say, dear God, I thank you today that you love me so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to come to this earth to die on a cross for me, to shed his blood for me. And Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess Jesus is Lord, you said I will be saved. Come on, say it with me. Say, I do this today. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Save me, Lord. I confess, Jesus, you are now Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what your word says. And I thank you because I have received you to be my Lord. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. If you said that prayer, I want to congratulate you because it's the best decision you ever made in your life to surrender to Jesus, make him Lord of your life. God's got a good plan for you. I want to encourage you, get in a great church where you'll learn the Bible. If you live anywhere near Jupiter, come and join us. We'd love to have you, wouldn't we? Praise the Lord. Well, how many believe in giving today? How many cheerful givers? How many tithers? How many believe in honoring God today?
Awesome. What a good word. Ministered to me. I couldn't write those scriptures down fast enough. And I didn't pick up my notes from the... We got to pick up those... It's got the notes at the door, the outline. It's got all the scriptures if you want to take that with you. I'm going to just read as we prepare ourselves to give this morning. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Philippians 4. You know, the Apostle Paul knew something about finances and giving, and he taught it to the Christians throughout the New Testament. And he said this in Philippians 4. He said, "And you Philippians yourselves well know that in the early days of the gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church assembly entered into partnership with me and opened up a debit and credit account in giving and receiving except you only." Now, I'm going to just highlight a couple of just three, I think it's three things from the scripture as we go along, but there are various ways you can give. Those that are watching online, it's really simple. Just click give online. Here you can do it by in an envelope, or you can do any way that's written up on the screen. So thank you for your faithfulness. But the Bible says right here, Paul said, First of all, he says you enter into a partnership when you give. Now, I really like that because I don't know about you, but many times as a believer, as a Christian, when I think about standing before the Lord one day and giving account of my life, and I think, I wish I had done more. But you know that there's a way to do more, and that's to partner together with others that are doing more. So when you're in a partnership, everybody gets the benefits. So when you partner with the church is benefited by your partnership, by your financial, your tithing, your giving, your faithfulness, and you're benefited by the results that come from it, their lives saved. You may not lead that person. Somebody today may have prayed that prayer and gotten saved, and that is accounted to you because you are in partnership as you give, right? And then Paul also describes it. He describes it as a debit and credit account of giving and receiving. And you know, some people are not in church today. Obviously, you don't feel this way, but I'm sure you know of someone who feels this way, or maybe someone in your family who thinks that church just wants your money. So all they can see is the giving part, and they don't want any part of it. But Paul says, I want you to know this is a debit and credit account. It is giving and receiving, because you cannot outgive God. I heard Jerry Savelle, I was listening to Kenneth Copeland's conference, and Jerry Savelle said this. He said his wife said to him one day, please stop giving away motorcycles. And he said, why would you say that? And she said, because they keep coming back in abundance. And you have too many motorcycles, but the more you give away, the more you give, the more comes back to you. You cannot outgive God. He said he went into his garage and he said, Lord, I want to tell you, my car, my motorcycle, it means nothing to me. If you tell me to give it away in a heartbeat, I'll give it away. And the Lord said, give your motorcycle to such and such a person. And he said he went and gave it to him. It was a brand new Harley Softail. He said he went to Louisiana to minister, and he said a man drove up with a pickup with a trailer with five motorcycles on the back and said, Brother Jerry, the Lord told me to give these to you. You know, it's not about motorcycles. It's that you cannot outgive God. Is that when you are responsive and God says to you, do this for this person, do this for the kingdom, and you do it, you better know that it's giving and receiving. Amen. I better move on. And it says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent me, Paul, contributions for my needs, not only once, but a second time. And he says, not that I seek or I'm eager for your gift. I'm not saying this to try and con you out of your money, right? But I do seek and I am eager for the fruit which increases to your credit, the harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account. There is a harvest of blessing attached to your giving. When you put your offering, your tithe, you better know that there is a harvest of blessing attached to your giving. That's what the word says. Amen. And it is accumulating to your account. He says, but I have your full payment and more. I have everything I need. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. They are the fragrant odor of an offering and a sacrifice which God welcomes and in which he delights. Just like Pastor Steve said, you know, that picture of the Twin Towers with those lights going up, and he said, your prayers come up. That's not made up. That's what the Bible says about our prayers coming up. It says that about our offerings. It says that our offerings, today as we give in the natural, physical, financial, material, as we give in the spiritual, there is a fragrant aroma of a sacrifice. You know, in the Old Testament, there was always sacrifice. It always went up. The Lord wanted that. And he delights. The Bible says he delights in that smell, that fragrance. Another translation says the fragrance of faithfulness. Isn't that good? He says, and my God will liberally supply and fill to the full your every need. Say that. Say, my God will liberally supply, fill to the full my every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible says that Paul talks about being caught up into heaven. And actually in another translation, he says that he says, according to Christ's riches, he says, I've seen the riches of heaven. And God, my God, will supply your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. So as you prepare to give, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for giving into the kingdom of God. And we're believing for a harvest of blessings. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
Go ahead, ushers.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for your faithful giving. We're expecting blessings poured out upon you in Jesus. Let me tell you, I'm not giving up on 2020. 2020 is a great year for me, great year for this church. It ain't over yet. I'm believing God for blessings poured out in 2020. I'm not writing off 2020. Well, let's wait for next year. Hey, listen, it ain't over yet. Amen. Listen, before you go today, I want to just mention two things to you real fast. First of all, is we have 15 Sundays left in this year. We have 15 Sundays left in this year. And I want us to give the devil a black eye. I want us, each one of us, I want to ask you today to commit yourself before the Lord to invite someone to church every week for the next 15 weeks. Thank you for your enormous enthusiasm. Try and contain yourself today. Listen, I'm asking every one of you, for the next 15 weeks, the devil stole a lot of weeks from people going to church this year. Have you thought about that? 6 months.
Yeah.
6 times 4 is 24, probably 27, 28 weeks. There's still 60% of churches in America are still closed. 60%. The devil stole that. And I believe we're going to take it back. We're going to bring more people in the next 15 weeks than we would have ever brought before. That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to say, Pastor Steve, for the next 15 weeks, I'm going to invite someone to church every week. I'm asking you to take these invite cards as you go today and invite. Second thing I've got to tell you, and this is really important. If you go through the Old Testament, you'll see whenever the nation of Israel, whenever they were facing a situation where they didn't know what to do, it looked like there was the end, it looked like they were going to be destroyed. What did they do? I said, what did they do? When they prayed and cried out to God, he delivered them. When they didn't, he didn't.
So pray.
How many of you believe it's important for us to be praying for our country right now?
I do.
I felt it so strong that the church, where's the church? And I'm so glad that Jonathan Kahn is having an event called The Return in Washington on September 26th. They're going to be praying from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. They're inviting Christians to join them from all over this country to go to Washington to pray for our nation. How many believe we need to be praying for our nation? Now, maybe you can't go to Washington. I can't go. But what we're going to do is we've linked up with the Return organization. And we are going to be live streaming the event at our church. I'm not going to do the 12 hours because I know I'd be here by myself. Me, myself, and I. And so what I'm going to do is on September the 26th, from 12 in the afternoon until 3 hours. I'm asking you to join us. We're going to live stream the event from Washington. We are going to pray together. There are going to be Christians all across this nation joining up and praying for America. How many believe that's a good thing? That's an important thing. And that's something you want to be part of. You need to be part of it. I'm telling you right now, make plans on Saturday. We're going from 12 to 3 on Saturday, September 26th. That's the last Saturday of this month. We're going to meet right here. We're going to link up on our screen. We're going to show the live stream from Washington, and we're going to join with them, and we're going to pray. Now, I was going to show you a video today, but I'm not going to because it's 8 minutes long. I know you sit on Facebook and watch videos all day long, So don't tell me you ain't got 8 minutes. But I'm not going to show it today. But here's what I am going to do. I'm going to send you, I'm going to text you the video this afternoon.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you sometime today, please watch this 8 minute video. It's Jonathan Kahn explaining what's happening. You see, I preached a few weeks ago, I believe that the solution is we must return, repent, and God will restore. We must return, repent, and God will restore. And that's why it's called the return. Because America must return unto God.
Yes.
Prayer's been taken out of schools. I think it's time we put prayer back into schools.
Right.
Yep. How about you?
Yep.
So I'm asking you, please make note. Please make note. September 26th, I'm going to send you the video. Now, if you don't get the text from me, I send out a text every week. It comes from a service, and the number is 313-131. And every Friday, you should get a text from Ascend Church that tells you what's happening on Sunday. How many of you get that text? Wave at me. How many of you do not get that text? Wave at me. If you do not get that text, you need to text 313-131. Text the word Ascend. Just text Ascend, and you will automatically be joined to our weekly text list, and you'll receive the texts. And I'm going to send it out today. So if you don't normally get texts from the number 313-131, you text the word Ascend, and I'm going to send you the link. And I want you to, will you watch that 8 minute video I'm going to send you today? It's very exciting. Watch this 8 minute video, and we're going to join up in Jesus' name. Let me tell you right now, my faith is in God for this nation. Doesn't matter who's president. My faith is in God for this nation. Did you hear what I said? Doesn't matter who's the president. My faith is in God for this nation. And we need to be praying for God to guide this nation, praying over these elections, just praying over everything that's going on. Because when we pray, God moves. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. We love you. Thank you for being here today. Our God, He's the way maker. He's the miracle worker. He's the promise keeper. He's the light in the dark. See you next Sunday.
You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.